Welcome back to another edition of Suits Talk, Season 4, Episode 5 edition. I'm your host, Aaron, and as always, I'm joined by my main man, Nick, who has very swoopy hair. What's up, buddy?
Man, for a second, I thought you'd forget about the swoopy hair, but...
Well, I actually did, but I just remembered it because I looked over at you and your hair looks extremely swoopy.
It does, but when I look at your hair, I see that you don't really have the loofah anymore, do you? It doesn't look so curly anymore.
I went and got it all shaved off. Not like bald, but it's very short.
Well, I'm still Team Lou, so.
Yeah, Team Lou for life. Anyways, we have a lot to talk about. This was an awesome episode, and I think everybody agrees because Twitter was just like, oh man, this is an awesome episode.
Blowing up.
I agree, and as always, we're going to start off with a rating, and I'm going to ask you to go first. What did you think of the episode?
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Please don't say 10 out of 10, because I have a feeling you're going to say 10 out of 10.
Elaborate.
And I don't want... Okay. I just think it was a really well-put-together episode. I think everything came together nicely. We had some really good story progression on all the fronts, as well as some new things. We got a little bit of Larvae, Lewis and... No, not Larvae. Larvae. I messed that up, sorry.
Lana.
It's not Lewis and Harvey.
Or Dewis. What do they call it on Twitter? Does anybody know? Because I don't.
Anyways, we got a little bit of Larvae, and then we got a little
bit of... No, not Larvae.
Oh, my God.
Lana.
Lana, my gosh. Anyways, a little bit of Lana, a little bit of Darvy, that's what I meant to say, at the end of the episode.
We got like a second.
We got some Rachel in the hospital. We got some Mike and Harvey reconciliation, and I think the list goes on. I think we'll talk about it as the show goes on, but there's lots of strong things in this episode to discuss. But what did you think about the episode?
Well, I'd give it a 7.2. Oh! I'm just kidding.
8.2.
No, really, 7.2.
For real?
Yeah.
You're really going to give it that?
Yeah. No. 8.7. This was a really good episode. This was definitely the best episode of the season so far. But I really liked last week, or was that the week before? Was that last week or the week before? Anyways, not the point. Awesome episode. I'm glad that just a few main things. I'm glad we got back to Lewis's comedy side and a little bit less of his like serious. I mean, there was some serious stuff, but it was all in the name of comedy. I'm glad we got back to that. I'm glad we got to see some progression on the Rachel x Logan x Mike love triangle front. I'm glad that we got to see some Lana. I'm really, 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 really glad that we got to see some Mike and Harvey friendship, because this is a sign. I read into what happened in this episode, and I know exactly where they're going with this, and I'm so happy the direction that they're going in. And we're going to talk about that soon, but not yet.
Not bad. I like that scene with Mike and Harvey, though, real quick, even though we'll talk about it in a little bit. That they kind of came together to have dinner, and then they go outside and they get owned together for once. Rather than them owning each other, they were kind of on the same side. Like, wow, this sucks.
Back to the old days.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, well, let's kick us off with our first discussion point. What do you want to do?
I think we should start off with the Lewis and Donna. It's kind of a light topic.
I don't know if I call it a light topic. I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff to talk about there. Obviously, I don't think they'll pursue a love interest with Lewis and Donna, but how they're approaching it, it seems kind of probable.
Well, when I said light, I just meant like lighthearted.
Oh, okay.
Not as like serious.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think there will ever be a romance there. I think they're just screwing with us, because it's been obvious since the first season that Lewis just like wants to ravage Donna, but
I think he wants to like not ravage her. That sounds kind of violent.
Well, yeah, he's too soft for that, but he wants to love her. So I think they like to just tease us with Donna and Lewis, and I don't think it'll ever be a real thing. Just, it's the same thing as Darvy. It's never actually going to happen. They just want to lead us on so they can get tons of fan pages on Twitter that campaign for them, but it's never actually going to happen. I know you think Darvy will happen, but it's never going to happen. And just like...
Really, what about Harvey telling Donna at the end that he's a Donna fan? A little bit of a flashback to the first episode where Donna says she's a Harvey fan. Well, or the second episode.
Whatever I think it's just they're trying to appease the fans. Hey, when you said that you saw like a thing before the season started where they had filming of, was that it?
Yes, that was it. There was a fan page that had posted a picture of the filming, and they were like, is that Harvey with flowers behind his back waiting for Donna? And lo and behold, this is the scene they were talking about. It did deliver. We'll get to Darby in a second. Let's get back to Lewis and Donna, though. What were you saying about it?
Well, I noticed towards the beginning of the episode, when Lewis found out that Donna was doing her play thing, Lewis had a ton of, like, adoration for Donna, and he was, like, encouraging her and, like, saying all these, like, super sweet things to her. And then, oh, he called her the most beautiful thing in the world or whatever.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Like my hair. And then, after that, like, after a bunch more stuff happened, it kind of flip-flopped, and it was Donna giving Lewis praise, and it was just kind of weird to see. I don't know. I
wonder, not just between Lewis or Harvey, but I wonder if Donna has any romantic interest in men as a whole, or if she's just one of those women that's just all about her career. Because we did find out in this episode that she didn't really want to be in law or in a, I don't think anyone ever wants to be an assistant. But we learned that one of her passions was to be an actress.
Are you hating on people who are assistants?
No, I'm not hating on them.
But Donna probably makes more money than you and me.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I don't think she was in second grade drawing pictures of her dream career as an assistant. I think she, like we found out in this episode, she wanted to be an actress or like a stage actress.
Well, I think the main point of the whole Donna and Lewis situation was just that kind of in the end, Lewis helps Donna accomplish some stuff, and Donna helps Lewis become better because, you know, she's talking about, well, I know you were having trouble with Malone and Harvey, and sometimes when you accomplish things in one regard in your life, it will help you overcome things in another one. So Lewis has kind of been in a funk the last episode or two. So with this, Lewis is suddenly feeling a lot better about himself. I mean, he thinks that he has a chance with Donna, which he doesn't, and he also got that, like, morale boost from the newspaper saying he was a god or whatever. So I think, and he got to spend time with Donna, which, you know, that's a good thing. So I think this will be good. And now we'll be ready for Lewis to come back in and dominate again.
Well, so let me ask you this. In the promo we saw, do you think Rachel will receive the gift of the necklace well? Because we know that was Lewis that gave her it.
Rachel?
Donna.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and
I'm just, so messed up with my names tonight.
Yeah, seriously, what are you thinking? Anyways, in the teaser for next week, which you can see in the credits of this episode, you can see Donna getting like a diamond necklace or something, and she says, oh, you shouldn't have, or something like that. And it looks like, we paused it, it looks like it's Lewis. And I agree with you that I think it's Lewis, but it could not be. At first I thought it was Harvey.
Because it's kind of balding, and I think Rick Hoffman's jawline is very distinctive. I think it's him.
Okay, whatever. So either way, yeah. So Lewis is giving Donna a necklace. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, but what I was asking originally is, do you think she'll receive the gift well? She'd be like, Lewis, that was really sweet, or like, I don't really want this.
I think she'll go back to his apartment. No, I'm just kidding.
First scene.
No, but I think if that really does happen, and it's like not just like, I mean, they do a lot of, we talked about this before with their like cliffhanger stuff. They like to tease us with things that aren't really like legit.
Like the hospital.
Yeah, so like the hospital and like Logan saying, will you marry me? Like how that was a dream, like all that kind of stuff. They like to tease us with that sort of thing. So it's possible it could just be like a comedy scene or something where he gives her the necklace. It's not actually like a romantic type deal, which I think that's the most likely, is that it's a comedy. They turn it into a comedy scene in some way. But if it's not and it's legit and Lewis thinks he has a chance, then the hearts of Darby lovers are going to be cast astray.
Broken.
Broken forever. Well, I can...
She just fainted.
What?
I can confirm
that
nothing we talked about last week had anything to do with what actually happened.
Suits is wasting Suits talk time by doing stuff like
that. Yeah, like the whole promo was Rachel's in the hospital, and she didn't actually even go into the hospital until like the last 15 minutes of this episode.
And then the explanation is she fainted.
Well, I mean, it makes sense with Harvey overworking her.
I guess, but I was just really disappointed in that. I thought something would come into. What about with Rachel? Let's do this. What about with Rachel? What'd you think of that dream she had? Do you think there's any foreshadowing?
Well, I'm not really sure if I would classify it as traditional foreshadowing, but I think they're definitely like building up to a real like division in Rachel's heart between Logan, who's an old flame, who she, I guess, maybe has slight feelings for still, and Mike, who's her current lover, but who she is, you know, kind of in a division with over this whole Mike and Harvey and Mike doesn't work at the firm anymore thing. And
well, not just that, but what I took away from it is there's this dream, which I thought it was originally a flashback.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's a dream, and she's telling Logan, like, hey, I can't marry you. And he says, why? And she says, because you'll always be a fraud.
Yeah.
And then it switches to Mike's face. And we actually had to rewind because I thought that was Mike's face, but I wasn't sure. So we had to rewind, and both our jaws were like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's, like, a real issue for her heart is that Mike's not a real, like attorney, and he is a fraud. Like, I wonder if that bugs her. And I know we talk about that, but it's really weird to see that kind of visualized on screen.
Yeah, well, she's dreaming that, and you know, dreams are kind of a reflection of what's going on in your subconscious. So it's,
well, I don't know about that. I have some really weird dreams. Yeah,
it's a very plausible thing that she had that dream because she is still upset with the fact that Mike is a fraud. So, and that could drive her away from Mike and into the arms of Logan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's something she'll ever get over. It's kind of a hard pill to swallow. That she's, like, working her butt off to become a lawyer. And I thought it was funny how Mike even made a comment to her, like, well, I never had this issue because Harvey didn't make me become a lawyer. Yeah. And she was just kind of like, yeah, Mike, I know. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I would not be able to live with that if I was in her shoes.
No, because it's just not fair, especially for someone in the profession that they're in.
Yeah. Wait. I got one more thing about Rachel. In the teaser for next week, one of the things that we're pretty sure that we saw is, well, okay, it's definitely Rachel that's being kissed, but there's a dark head kissing her.
Looks like Logan.
The first, like, two times we looked at it, it looked like Mike to me, but it does kind of look like Logan, but at the same time, the teasers for the last, like, 3 weeks have all fooled us in some way. So I'm not inclined to think that this is just, like, a legit Logan's kissing Rachel and she's like, M-m-m-m-m-m-m. I don't think it's like that. I think it could be a flashback, or it could be Mike and they just styled his hair different just for the teaser. Like, I don't know.
I don't think that. I think it really is Logan. I think, because if you can tell when you pause it, I know we're ultra nerds for pausing promos, but
well, we also do a podcast about Suits, so I think it only makes sense that we do our research.
You're right. But it looks like she's pulling away from him to say, like, I can't do this. But we don't see what happens before or after. She's asking for the kiss, or if she responds to it after initially refusing. So I think it'll be interesting, but I think they are focusing a lot on Logan and Rachel, which we didn't think that would happen coming into season 4. We didn't think that'd be an issue, but the first thing we see in this episode is Logan calling Rachel. That's the first thing we see. And then it ends with, well, it ends with Donna and Harvey, but the last scene with Rachel is her receiving flowers
from Logan.
So they're not just putting that in for no reason. It's going to pay off somewhere. I just don't know when it'll be.
Well, Logan definitely is interested in Rachel, but it's obvious, like, at this point in time, she's avoiding him because she listens to that voicemail. She's just like, well, I know he just wants to, you know, get back with me because he tried to kiss her or whatever last time. But it's obvious that she is trying to resist, but you know, Mike has just been such a douche and she needs that love. So she.
Well, and you can only resist Logan for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I think his wallet is attractive enough.
And the hair.
It would be.
I'm no, just kidding, because no. I know you hate his hair.
Yeah, I hate his hair. It's terrible.
Let's get on to something that we've been really critical of. Again, what did you think of Harvey this episode?
Okay. I'll give you a quick run-through. You can just sit back and relax. I'm going to talk for like an hour. Okay. So at the beginning of this episode, again, per the usual for this season, Harvey is just douchebagging it up. I mean, he's just yelling at people. He's going into Malone's office and he's telling him, "You work for me. You got this job to work for me, not to do what's right. And so you're going to do what I say and you're going to do this illegal stuff and I don't care." And then he, Rachel asks him for time off and he's, blah, blah, blah. "I'm not giving you any time off. You need to work harder, blah, blah, blah,
well,
blah, blah."
I think all that means is Harvey needs a day off himself because he's too succumbed with it himself.
Well, it makes me wonder. What I think is that the reason they're making Harvey into such a douche is to show that even though he might not have been quite that bad before Mike, now that he's had Mike there and he's there in his heart, it's just he's not the same without Mike. Like, they're yin and yang. They need to both be there. And so...
So it's almost like Mike balances out Harvey.
Yeah.
Like that he keeps him accountable.
Kind yeah, of. Yeah. I mean, they're just... They do things, yeah, they work for each other. You know, it's they're
a power couple.
They're a power couple. Yeah, so
Beyonce and Jay-Z style.
So I feel like, because he's been like that for this whole season. You know, he's just been a total D-bag to everybody. We haven't seen any sympathy from him about anything at all. And the most emotion that we've seen from him is about his dad's stupid tapes. And that had to do with Mike. So then in the beginning of the episode, he's like that. Then the episode goes on, and he starts interacting with Mike, mostly towards the end. And, you know, Rachel gets hospitalized or whatever, and they go to dinner together. And you can just see where their connection is, like, being reestablished. I wrote down somewhere here in my notes. Oh, yeah, here it is. In the beginning of the episode, they were kind of intensely, like, going at each other when, like, Harvey was like getting into the elevator and Mike.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I wrote down, "Will they heal?" with a bunch of question marks because I just felt like they were getting so at each other's throats that it just didn't seem likely that we would ever be able to see them reconcile and be friends again. You know, maybe they'll be at the same firm or whatever. But be friends? I don't know. So, but then they go to this steakhouse and they're talking and you can just tell that they're rebuilding that relationship right now. So what I think is they're already getting ready for Mike to come back to Pearson Spector because he's already getting backed into a corner by that super rich guy and Sigwell. So they're backing him into a corner. So it just seems more and more likely that he'll end up losing that job. And so he's reconciling with Harvey now, and they'll be on the same team, even though it's illegal. And that will give him the opportunity to come back to the firm.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I thought the same thing in that scene where he approaches Harvey at the elevator and he says something to Harvey and Harvey turns around and says, "Excuse me?" And I thought for a second, like, even if Mike comes back, will it ever feel the same as it did? Like, I don't know how Suits has a plan. I'm sure Aaron Korsh, being the genius writer he is, has some kind of idea up his sleeve, but I thought at the beginning of the episode that there's no way that it'll ever feel the same. I don't think it'll have the same charisma. But then we had that scene at dinner where they bond over this mutual laughing at Lewis. And, you know, and we see it's possible. And I thought that was really great. I'm really excited for him to come back if he comes back. But I think at this point it's a guaranteed lock. He's coming back.
Well, this was episode 5. And remember, we're guaranteed at least up to episode 7 that Mike will not be back there yet. So that's something to keep worth note. I mean, we still kind of have a lot going on with Gillis and with the rich guy and Sigwell and all that stuff. So
something you said earlier about Harvey coming into Jeff's office saying, "Do this. I don't care if it's illegal." I wrote this down because I thought it was interesting. Jessica walks in first and says, find a way for Logan to buy those shares. And Jeff says, I can't. That's illegal. Like, I hope you know that's illegal. And she says, we'll make it questionable. And with that, I kind of realize that it's not just Harvey that pulls these tricks. I think it's Jessica. And I don't know if Lewis does, but it really puts it into perspective for me, like we mentioned last week, that there's a lot of gray area with law. And I think Harvey and Jessica do this kind of stuff pretty consistently. And that was the first time I've ever heard Jessica be okay with something that was illegal or questionable, as she called it. I mean, aside from Mike being a fraud.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Aside from Mike being a fraud. But I mean, I think as far as a case goes, I've never seen that.
Jessica just wants to get stuff done. She just wants to win. She's kind of like Harvey, I think. She's probably done things and we just can't remember it.
Murdered people for money,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, she strikes me as the assassin type.
She actually made Rachel faint.
We were talking about that. Maybe they're just going to have a security cam recording of, we're like, why could Rachel be in the hospital? She probably got hit by a car that Harvey was driving, and the security cam is just going to be Harvey in his car with Lewis in the passenger seat, just like peace signing out the window. We just hit you. You're done. Take that, Ross.
That is when Suits Talk would end. I wouldn't watch the show anymore.
Why? No, that'd be awesome. There needs to be
Lewis some... Litt assassinating. Listen, first of all, before Aaron says anything, I just want our dedicated listeners to know Aaron lied to me viciously. When I binge-watched the show on Amazon Prime, he told me at the end of season 3 that there's a mass shooting in the law firm. Somebody comes in and kills like 5 people.
And he bought it.
Well, I mean, what am I supposed to think when you tell me that's going to happen?
That would never happen.
Really? That happened in Grey's Anatomy. Someone really? Shot up the hospital. Yes.
That's weird.
It is weird, so I thought it was plausible. Anyways, back on track.
Well, I was just about to say that I think the show could use a little death.
Well, I haven't seen any violence in this show. I mean,
yeah, maybe just like a Michael Jordan. Someone could just fall out the window in the firm and die, or get pushed.
Who would push somebody out the window at Pearson Spector?
Harvey.
Harvey pushing Jeff Malone.
Harvey's
out.
Just like, dude, you follow my rules. This is my firm. And push Jeff Malone out the window.
Jeff Malone didn't even do anything.
And they're in he's a cage.
He's just like, why'd you push
well,
me
Well, he's
in?
Trying to bang Harvey's, or he is banging Harvey's partner, so he did do something.
Jeff Malone's last dying thought would be, why?
What movies are we going to watch in heaven, Jessica? Splat.
Two red boxes.
There's two red boxes in my desk. Return them or I'll be in debt. Splat.
$2, that's it.
Well, that will go against your credit score, dude.
Oh, well, I use debit for Redbox. Anyways, back on track.
Since we're still talking about Harvey and Mike, you know, Mike and Harvey, they come out of the restaurant. They're Gucci. They're good. And then Sean Cahill walks up and just has to jack everything up.
He has to ruin the perfect bromance.
Yeah.
We just can't have something good for once in the show.
So he tells them that. Well, he tells them that he's investigating them, and then he says, well, all the shares that they were supposedly fighting over were bought, and that he's going to have them investigated. And Harvey promises Mike, hey, it must have been Jessica. I'm going to get her to sell them back. Well, he goes to the firm, and Jessica says, yeah, I did it. We're not doing it. Sorry. I don't care what deal you made with Mike Ross. I don't care what handshake you made with him. You work for this firm, not for Mike Ross. And then it shows this shot of Harvey, and he's just like, are you serious? Like, he's so mad. I can tell he's just like, oh, my God, I can't believe I have to do this. And at that moment, I went to my little notepad, electronic notepad, and I wrote down potential future. And I already talked about this when we did our bold predictions and all that stuff, but I've never been more sure that this was going to happen until that scene. At the end of this season, Jessica will be gone, and Mike and Harvey will be back at the firm. I don't know who the other named partner is going to be. It's not going to be Mike, but
Litt.
No,
I know you hate Litt as partner, but who's
no,
going
to
be?
Maybe she won't be gone. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think that Harvey's going to say he's going to do something to get rid of Jessica because
he's pissed.
He picks Mike over her. That's maybe she'll stay at the firm, but for some way, he will pick Mike over her at the end of this season because she basically just said, "Well, I'm not giving you a choice. I'm picking me over Mike Ross, and you don't have a choice. Me."
That's what Harvey does to everyone else. So I'm sure he isn't like being treated that way too much. That's what he did to Rachel. She was like, "Hey, can I have a day off? I haven't asked for a day off in months." He was like, "No. You don't have a choice," and then he gets treated that way, and it's all butthurt about it. But I agree with what you were saying. I thought it was phenomenal. I don't know, he's phenomenal when it comes to acting that much by Gabriel. Because that look on his face showed with one frame that he has a really good friendship with Mike deep down. He still loves him in a brotherly or fatherly son way. That's not really sure how they are. And that he's hurt that he's going to have to tell him that.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of summed up Harvey this season perfectly.
Yeah, even after all the animosity they've
had.
That's
what I'm saying. It's phenomenal because with that one frame, you see that he doesn't want anything that's happened this episode. Or this season so far.
Yeah, and he tells Mike that. He says...
It was great.
He says, basically, "Hey, when you came into my office in episode one... And you had this idea and you needed money. I should have done it for you right there." And then none of this would have happened if he would have just trusted Mike right there.
He even goes as far to say he doesn't have many regrets, but that was one of him. And he's like nodding his head.
Mind blown.
Like, "Man, I'm an idiot," pretty much. And I thought that was just really solid acting by him. I think it sold character very well.
Can we get like a soundbite for this? Aaron's mind is blown.
Sure. We can do that.
Which is good because we're about to need another one. Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
It's time for Nick's cinematography crap. Okay, so tell me about the cinematography of this episode. Do you have anything? Did you even look?
Once again, I have nothing. But I did pay attention.
You better
attention,
put the soundbite in there anyway.
But I did. I will. I know you like the soundbite. If no one else likes Nick's cinematography crap, Aaron gets a kick out of it. He has the biggest smile on his face right now. Just waiting for me to say something. But it's definitely less dark. It's kind of a happier episode, so I think less dark tones were used and less dark filters.
Yeah, I was going to say that. There was almost no darkness.
I'm
pretty sure there was only one scene in the entire episode that was at night.
That's when Harvey and Donna were with each other.
Well, I guess other than that scene. There was one scene in somebody's office that was at night.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember when it was. Plus, then when they were outside on the curb talking to Sean Cahill, that was at night too. But it was a well lit sidewalk.
But yeah, I definitely paid attention to that much. That it didn't seem like with the other episodes from the first 5 minutes, from the frames and the shots they were using, I could just tell like this is going to be kind of an off episode. It's going to feel kind of dark and kind of, I don't know if I want to use the word moody, but if you know what I mean, it feels kind of like it's trying to twist your emotions around, you know?
Well, I think they got through the episodes before this one and they look back and they said, "Wow, we just went Harry Potter book 5 on them. So let's get some happy stuff going on."
They said, "Dude, this is Deathly Hallows part 2. We need to bring it back to some sorcerer."
No, Order of the Phoenix, dude. That was a dark book.
Dude, Deathly Hallows.
Well, yeah, but it was... Shut up. Anyways, we got through Nick's cinematography crap.
Lightning round.
Oh, yeah, let's do Aaron's lightning round. All right. So, just in case you don't know the rules of Aaron's lightning round, I'm going to shoot off some phrases or sentences about kind of what happened in this episode, but just about things in general. And Nick is going to reply as fast as he can, talking about whatever, like his reaction to whatever I said in relation to this episode. And then when Nick has done a few, we'll flip it back and I'll do some. Let's do it.
Yep, and I'm going to try my best to answer as honestly as possible. These are going to be unedited, so it's going to be raw and real, and we're going to put it in whatever I think. So hopefully it doesn't sound too stupid.
Well, didn't we do that every time?
Yeah, but just need to clarify.
Yeah, okay. So, here we go.
Okay.
Number one, the mole on Harvey's forehead.
We're not really including that, are we?
Yeah, we are. What do you think?
I pray Gabriel doesn't listen to our podcast, I'm going to kill these people.
I think it's a good mole. Very well placed.
Well, I'm chopping this out regardless.
So. No, do not. No, this. I don't have anything else.
We're going to really spend a minute talking about his
mole. Yes. Okay, I actually have more, but you better leave that in. Number two, Harvey and his metaphors again.
He didn't have too many of them this episode.
Yeah, but he had some.
Yeah, I think he had some, but I think it's just how he talks. Personally, I don't know how he's a great lawyer with always talking in very confusing things.
So. Well, I expected a bigger reaction out of you because at the beginning of the episode, when he used a metaphor, you were just like, another metaphor! Oh my god, I'm so tired of these stupid metaphors from Harvey!
I forgot about that. Well, I'll tell you what illusion I really liked is when Sean Cahill approaches Harvey and Mike and he asks which one's Franklin and which one's Bash. It's a show that's about two inexperienced lawyers that are friends. It's kind of similar to Suits, where it's like a comedy drama about legal stuff, and I thought it was really nice. I don't want to say throwback because the show, to my knowledge, is currently on, but I think it was released the same year as Suits, 2011.
A good reference.
Yeah, I think it was a cool reference for it to kind of call out a show that was close in style to Suits. I thought it was interesting. Fun.
All right, next. Lewis's return to comedy.
I loved it. I loved his outfit. There were two or three times where we saw Lewis in his outfit and Aaron and I just turned to each other and started to laugh. Because he's just such an outrageous character, and we talk about this all the time, but I can never get too much lit. I don't think I can get too much lit. I know we talked about that a few episodes back, how we're getting too much lit, but I don't think you can ever get too much Lewis. I think he's phenomenal. Comedy or not.
Okay. I got another thing for the lightning round. I just thought of it. I want you to react to what I'm about to say. It's not necessarily about this week's episodes of Suits, but it's actually about our podcast last week. I keep like a little, kind of like a notepad for every episode. And I went sometime, I guess, last week after the podcast dropped. I listened to it and I went ahead and started my notes for tonight's episode, I guess, so I would remember this. And I wrote, last week podcast listening notes. Nick hates Harvey and loves Lewis. Which I guess means, anyways, let's not worry about it, what it means. React.
Well, let's see here. I don't think that's necessarily true. I definitely prefer Lewis as a character in this season. He's also more dynamic than Harvey is. Harvey doesn't really have much change as far as we've seen, maybe characterization-wise. He's just kind of always been Harvey. Lewis has real depth to him, though. Not that Harvey's a bad character, because I think he's a great character. It's just Lewis is such a developed three-dimensional character. He responds to things certain ways, and you really feel like this is a real person. Harvey's not a bad character, but he's just more of a fictionalized, like, you can tell he's like a fictional person, but just the way Rick Hoffman plays Lewis is perfection.
Okay, so basically, to summarize what you just said,
I hate Harvey, I love Lewis.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going, yes.
If you want to be very elementary with what I said, then yes, but if you want to read more into it, then
okay, well, all of our fans who love Harvey, which is all of them,
I like Harvey.
I hate you right now.
I like Harvey, and you like Harvey.
Well, it's okay. They're all just going to, all of our fans are going to tweet us and be like, well,
I hate Nick
and love Aaron.
I hate Nick and love Aaron, and I'll cry in the corner or something. But I'll tell you what I'll love more is when Harvey and Mike get back together. Then I'll be really happy with Harvey's character. I think he's, this is going to sound really weird, but I think he's meant to be with Mike. Not like in a relationship, but I think character-wise, I think he's best when paired with Mike. This is the first time we've seen him apart.
They're going to go back to Harvey's apartment.
See you tomorrow.
Stop. Green MacBook. Okay. That's all I've got for Aaron's lightning round. But now it's time for Nick's lightning round.
All right. Well, I got one and one only, and it's going to be the best lightning strike round, whatever you want to call it, there ever was. Are you ready?
Wait, the best ever?
The best question ever.
I have a feeling this is going to be really lame.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make it seem cooler. Okay. All right, ready?
Proceed.
Here we go. Do you think Harvey will ever take Donna out on a date, even after what we saw at the end of this episode?
No. Look, I'm just going to be real, okay? And I know I'm going to disappoint some of y'all. Some of you Darby fans out there. And I know there's a lot of you, and I know that you, a lot of you listen to this podcast every week, but I just think that until the show is over, they're just going to continuously tease us with Darby references. Like, you can look at that, like, at that, how you could, for what happened in this episode, you can look at it from the perspective of, oh my God, I want Donna and Harvey to be together. You can look at it like that and say, oh, well, that's a romantic gesture. But when you look at it objectively, it's really just, they're really good friends and they've been together, you know, as a like team for a long time, and Harvey just wants to do something nice for her. It has nothing, it's not romantic at all. And I don't think there will ever be a place in this show for them to be any sort of couple, and it never will be that way.
I think the flowers pushed it over the edge. Maybe just the limo and going to take her to see it and the Harvey Specter exclusive limo ride over.
I don't think it was a limo.
I thought it was. Oh, it was a special driver. My bad.
It was just a black car.
But the flowers, I know you get flowers at shows, but it just seemed overly romantic for just being friends. And I think you can agree that while they might not pursue a romantic relationship, it's definitely more romantic than they know it to be, I think.
Well, I think it's just a friendly thing. And
I have never treated a friend that way. That was a girl.
Well, that's because you've been in a relationship for the last 15 years straight. I'm serious. This guy has a deathly fear of being single. It's the God honest truth. Anyways, that was a terrible lightning round question. I can't believe you thought that was the ultimate question. That was awful. Like, God awful. I didn't even have to think
about
that.
What
about
your question about the mole, man? I don't see how that was better.
Are you going to include my question about the mole? Well, if not, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? And the world may never know. We're going to put the question about the mole in the first bloopers. And you're going to have to subscribe to us to be able to hear what it is. Your mind was just blown. So, that's all we got. Oh, I actually have one more thing. Every week, I know we have fans. We have at least a few who routinely listen. The main fan we have, I'm going to give you a good shout out because you tweet us all the time and say you love
our show. The original fan.
The original fan at FufaB. That's at FOUFA_B. Fufa tweets us all the time saying that our show's going to be awesome and all that stuff.
Which it always is.
It always is, yeah. So we really appreciate it, and so we decided to give you a good shout-out. And the reason that I'm saying this is because we know that both Fufa and some other people who have tweeted us, you know, routinely every week or, you know, every other week or whatever, and we know they listen to the podcast. So we're glad that you guys are there and you like our show. What we really want is some interaction with you guys, like, about the actual podcast. Like, we love that you guys give us feedback and that we can, you know, talk to you about the show on Twitter. But every week after the show's over on the East Coast, we get ready to do the podcast. And I try to do it every week. Sometimes I forget. I'm always going to tweet out that we're ready for Twitter questions. Tweet us anything that you want us to talk about. Maybe we forgot something or, you know, you just have a question. It doesn't even have to be about the podcast or about Suits. It could be about us or anything like that. Tweet us, and then at the end of every episode, like at this time, we will answer your questions or talk about whatever you want us to talk about. And we'll always, you know, give you a good shout-out on Twitter. You can, you know, and say, hey, go follow them. They're awesome. They actually sent us questions. So we want to have interaction with you guys. So we're happy with the interaction that you give us. Don't get me wrong, because we love talking to you guys on Twitter. We're almost at 100 followers. That's mind-blowing to me. And so there's that. But we want to have even more. So tweet us your questions. You don't have to tweet them after the show. You could tweet it right after you listen to this. Say, hey, Aaron, why why is Nick's hair so stupid? I don't know. And then we'll talk about it. I'll make a list and we'll talk about it on the next podcast. No, You're done. Okay, fine. Say whatever you want. Go. This is the end anyways. You don't have to edit it. No one listens this far anyways.
I just have this kind of a vision when I think of sending in the questions that we'll actually have to sort through and pick certain questions. That's how many questions I want to be sent in. And well, I know that's really unrealistic, but I think that'd be really cool to do. No,
we're going to get there. But
we have a lot of big plans for this podcast. We want to do really cool things. If it takes off, maybe next half of the season, we've contemplated a live stream directly after the show. If we get enough fans, if enough people are interested in it, we just want to be able to cater to you guys and all your suits needs. So the more interaction, the better. All your suits needs at Suits Podcast. No, but that's all we want, really, is some really good fan interaction. That's truly why we made this, because we're fans and want fan interaction.
Since we're talking about the podcast, we actually got a notification earlier today that we were approved for Stitcher. And so we are now officially on Stitcher, so you can listen to our podcast there if you have an Android device. They probably have it on iTunes as well if you want to use that, because it's a very good podcast directory. I don't know. Like, if you search Suits Talk on Stitcher, it gives you 3,000 results. So
I'll have to get all the data worked out with it. I just got the email when I was at school today. So I'll have to get all of the data worked out and the uploading stuff. But I'll get it worked out by the time this is dropped. So
we'll make sure we tweet a link for you guys. I think we need to... I mean, on iTunes, it's really easy to find us. But we might have to put links in our, like, Twitter description to, like, where our iTunes page and our Stitcher page, just so it's easier for people to find if they just follow us on Twitter or whatever. So, you know, we get, you know, shout-outs and stuff from fan pages, and they say, oh, I'm going to go follow them, but they can't find us. So we should make that information readily available. So, do you have anything else?
Subscribe, follow us, talk to us on Twitter, ask us questions. The usual. That's about it.
Okay, so this has been your boy, your host, your main man, hashtag Team Loof, Aaron, and I've been here with my co-host, my main boy, the Swoop, Nick, and we will be back next week for episode 6. Thank you for listening to Suits Talk. Good night.
Well, I'll tell you what illusion I really got a kick out of was when Sean Cahill approached Franklin.
God, man, that hair is weighing down your f***ing brain.